welcome to another broadcast of the Pamela Fullman Show on the Artist First Radio Network. All past shows are available in podcast form. Please visit artistfirst.com. Pamela is the author of 9 books, a cat and dog expert, and the host of this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Pamela Fullman.
Hi, everybody. I'm glad to be with you all this evening. I'm looking forward to having a great show with you tonight. Again, thank you for listening to the Pamela Fullman Show. I'm Pamela Fullman. Before we get going, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself for those of you who maybe are tuning in for the first time. I was raised in Plano, Texas, and have been an animal lover all my life. I grew up bringing home countless number of stray dogs, cats, birds, any animal I could find, even though we had a house full of animals of our own. I wanted to save absolutely everything. And that has kept true into my adult life, because now I have my own house of animals that I care for and absolutely love, which animals is the reason that I started writing my book series. And let me tell you a little bit about my books. I have 2 different series out right now, available on Amazon. The first book series is a picture book series called Sunny the Wonder Dog, based upon my real-life dog. My Shih Tzu, Sunny, was so incredibly intelligent, I had to find a creative way of explaining his intelligence. How did I do that? Well, there was only one explanation I could think of. He had to be an alien from outer space, disguised as a dog. And that's what I created in my Sunny the Wonder Dog book series. Little Sunny is an alien in disguise as a Shih Tzu, comes to Earth and befriends a 7-year-old child and her, and has to learn how to be a dog. He finds it very strange to not be able to say anything but wolf, have to do all the doggy habits of going outside to go potty and eating out of a food dish on the floor and all sorts of crazy things. But it's really been a fun series to work with, because unfortunately my real-life Sunny passed away a few years ago, so I've really enjoyed honoring his memory in this way through the book series. My other book series is a middle grade fiction series about my real-life cats. Over 7 years ago, I was lucky enough to find an abandoned litter of one-day-old kittens. I bottle-raised them, and yes, they are foster fails, because I still have all 4 of these adorable babies with me, and they follow me around all over the house. But that incredible experience was so inspiring to me that I thought it was a great teaching tool to teach young readers about the true responsibility and commitment that it takes to have a pet of your own. So that's my Megan's World series. 13-year-old Megan starts off learning about pet care by bottle raising the kittens, just like I did. And in case you've never had to bottle raise kittens, it's about as close to having a real human baby as I've ever experienced, because you're up every 4 hours feeding these little guys. And then Megan continues working with animals through pet sitting and her local veterinarian. So that's my other book series, and you can find out all about me and my books on my website, PamelaFolland.com. But let's get to tonight's show, because I'm very excited to have the guest on tonight. She has done broadcasting for over 25 years and is now a highly sought-after voiceover actress, whose work actually recently won an Outstanding Narration and Best Voiceover Award from the Society of Voice Arts and Sciences. I'm happy to have my friend and voiceover actress, Susan Bernard, with me tonight. How are you, Susan?
I am fantastic, and I'm delighted to be here, Pamela.
Well, good. I'm happy to have you. So tell us a little bit about, for the audience that doesn't know, what exactly you do as a voiceover actress.
Well, I appreciate you asking that. A lot of people don't know what I do as a voice over actress, and I do speak for a living. And what I do is I bring life to the words that you maybe have created for your product or your service or your company, or if you haven't created those words or you don't have a media department, possibly I might be your copywriter or your person that would come up with something to talk about as far as that product, that service, that company, or the services or anything that you might offer that your company would do. So I do a lot of different things. There's voice acting, there's voice artistry, and there's being a voice talent. And all those involve being a voiceover person or in the voiceover profession. But what I try to do is amplify, inject, create more buzz, and give better branding to what it is that your company or you bring to the marketplace.
You could put a voice to what I can put on paper. It sounds like it's a good combination between the two of us.
Correct. Correct. In fact, for what it's worth, I can do audiobooks. There's three different areas of voiceover that most people are not probably intrinsically aware of. And what those three categories or areas of voiceover entail are character work, where you hear accents and character voices, and they're frequently used on animation or on anime or manga or cartoons or even video games. That would be character voices. Then there's a realm or a category called narrative work, and you might hear somebody's narrative work in show narration, like if you watch the Discovery Channel or the National Geographic Channel or even HGTV or Hallmark. You might hear the narrative voice make comment about what you're seeing or what you're witnessing or experiencing visually on that particular TV show. And then there's commercial work, and commercial work is just like what it sounds like. You hear commercials on TV and on radio, and if you don't see the voice behind, I mean, you don't see the face of somebody, you'll hear that voice behind that picture, and I'm typically that voice. And although I'm not cast all the time for everything that you might hear, I am one of those people in that profession that you might hear.
Well, that's pretty cool, and you've worked in all three platforms?
I have. I've worked in all three forms. We mentioned a little bit about audiobooks, and I know you've been a very, very prolific author, and I look forward to possibly reading some of your books to do young adult reading. There's several genres. There's like do-it-yourself, there's self-help, there's psychological books, there are historical biographies. There's a lot of different things that go on in audiobooks. And in every little genre and every little category, there are subcategories. So narrative work, I've done in-show narration, Say Yes to the Dress. I've done some work that has been background noise and work, whether it's audible, it's understandable or intelligible, and sometimes it's not. It's just background noise. That's been in a narrative type of format. I've also done corporate narration. I've done training films and industrials, which are basically the same thing. And what they do is they explain what's going on in that company's corporate climate or culture, whether it's the rules of engagement with that particular company. Maybe as an employee, you're learning something about that company, and you might hear a training film, excuse me, about what needs to be known while being employed by that company. And so I've done work like that. And then I've also done commercial work where you hear something on the radio, like a Procter & Gamble commercial, a Tide commercial, if you will, and I play the soccer mom. Or you might hear a commercial about picante sauce, and I'm one of the characters. I might be a jalapeno. And even though that is more character-driven, it's also commercial work as well, too. So there's some blurring of the line sometimes in between. And sometimes if you're not a human character or you're not playing somebody, or they give you the idea to be, you know, somebody's first date or whatever the qualifications or requirements are for that particular read, you become that character in essence, but it is a commercial read because it's heard on radio and television. And then there's non-broadcast things as well, too, something that's not heard over the airwaves. According to the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, you might hear my voice like in a hotel where I say something like, "Welcome to the Dallas West End Hotel. We're glad to have you as a guest this weekend. And on the menu in the dining hall is yada, 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 yada." So it just depends on what's going on. I hit all different areas, and I'm just happy to help wherever I can. That's me.
Well, that sounds really cool. When you were talking about character work, it brought a question to mind is how hard is it for you to keep the same character voice throughout the narration or the product that you're working for? Because I make my pets talk to me all the time, and I find that they all have the same voice. So how hard is that for you to do?
It's, you know, that's a great question. It's hard sometimes. It really is. I mean, you don't want to be, if you're a character in an audio book and you've been reading, and just as an example, like a 20-chapter book, and you've been reading the main character, and obviously guys and girls, girls and guys, they all talk to each other, right? Your nuance has to be slightly different, whether it's your pitch, your tone, your rate of speed in which you speak, your accent, everything else. But it's interesting to maintain that accent. So if you're carrying on this like Scottish accent, you know, for chapter after chapter after chapter, and in 20 chapters, and then chapter 19, you find out that this person's from, you know, Australia, you just either have to re-record the whole book, or you're pretty much, you know, SOL basically. You know, you kind of have to really know your characters, and you have to read the story several times to understand the arc of the story, the conflict, the resolution, how it plays out. You have to, you know, modify your voice slightly, and it can be pretty difficult, but it also can be a lot of fun, and that's why I do this. I get the opportunity to act and be somebody different every day. I have a lot of fun doing a lot of auditions, and I get the opportunity to help people do whatever it is that they need to bring whatever they have in the marketplace to life, and that's kind of my main thing. If it's something that's a serious thing, I have to maintain the seriousness, the gravitas behind what's going on. I also need to be able to be a little bit lighter. There's political ads that come up. You know, there's a lot of different things in transportation systems. There's a lot of different things. And I try and be as non-regionally specific as possible. I try and maintain a neutral accent, if you will, so that people don't say, oh, well, she's obviously from Texas, or she's obviously from New York, or she's obviously from England somewhere. I try and maintain the accent that I do have, and when the character or the piece calls for me to maintain an accent, I will maintain that accent as best as I can. And frequently, and just to continue on with that, sometimes I have to go back and even listen to myself again and ramp up, if you will. That's a term that's used when basically you listen to something of a previous track and you listen to the way that you said it, your cadence, your tone, your pitch, your rate, and then you try and, you know, mock yourself or imitate yourself again, because you don't want to be a slower talker where you were once maybe a fast talker. So there's a lot of different things going on all at once, but it's a lot of fun always.
It sounds like it, and it sounds like it's something that I would struggle at. So you've been telling us all about what you do. Where can people find out about you and contact you if they are needing audio actress to work?
Well, I appreciate that question. That's huge. You can find me on my website, which is www.susanbernardvo.com. And again, it's Susan, S-U-S-A-N, Bernard, like a Saint Bernard, B-E-R-N-A-R-D, V-O, like voiceover, .com. So again, it's SusanBernardVO.com. You can also Google me. You can Google my name. There's other Susan Bernards out there in the world, but I believe I'm the only Susan Bernard voiceover or voice talent that's out there. And if you need to get in touch with me personally, there's a couple of other different ways that you can get in touch. One of the ways that you can get in touch is through my studio line, which is 4848-VOICE, V-O-I-C-E, 4. So that's 4848-VOICE, V-O-I-C-E, 4. Or you can contact me on my Gmail account for personal emails, and that is, it matches my website, my URL, but that would be SusanBernardVO@gmail.com. And I spelled that earlier, but I'll spell it one more time. It's SusanBernardVO@gmail.com. So those are ways that you can get in touch with me. And if you need to locally, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area or even in Texas, or I guess now across the world, if you're or across the United States, continentally speaking, you're welcome to call my cell phone, which is 214-403-1036. And again, that number is 214-403-1036. And I answer my phone when I'm available, and when I'm not, if you please leave a good time to call you back, I will be happy to return the call, talk about rates, talk about what I can do for you, how I can help, more in detail other information that you might need to know about who I am and what I do. But there's a lot of information about me on Google as well.
Well, that's great. I hope a lot of people go and check out your website, SusanBernardBO.com, and you'll be even busier than I know that you already are. So how did you get into voice actress? How did you get started?
Well, the way that I got started was back in the day, you know, people always say, okay, I thought that I might want to do something kind of fun and exciting. And I've always been into speech and drama and debate and things like that. So early on, I was very much obviously interested in kind of sharing my personality with people. And the best way I could do that was to perform or to speak. And so short of having little talent shows in my own backyard, as I got older into junior high and high school, I thought I would join the speech and debate team. And that started that off pretty much. And then in college, I continued and I went to Texas Tech University and achieved my Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Science degree from Texas Tech University in radio, television, film broadcasting, and a minor in Spanish and English. And so what I decided to do was go further, and I wanted to be really into sports casting. And at the time, and at least across the world at the time, it was so long ago, there were not many women in sports casting at the time. There was Phyllis George, who's also from North Texas area, and she recently passed away, but she did a great job to be able to be a beautiful face and a knowledgeable person in sports. And I wanted to kind of do the same thing, but unfortunately, I was told that that most men did not want to hear about sports from a woman. They told me that basically sports, if I did sports, it should be women's sports. And they told me that sports are something that most men definitely believe in, you know, paying attention to, but they don't want to be distracted by a woman, and that I wasn't pretty enough to be in front of the camera. So there was some things going on with that, and although I don't believe in everything that they told me, thankfully, I thought that I wanted to still engage in doing something, and I didn't want to do the weather on the news, and I didn't want to just be a disc jockey. So I thought that I would continue doing something along these lines, and I realized after a while I wasn't given the primo time to be able to broadcast, and when you broadcast, you're obviously broadcasting for a certain call sign or certain station, AM or FM, and I wasn't given the slot or the time shift of my choice, and I didn't want to work in graveyard shifts overnight, so I just kind of moved away from broadcasting for a while. And then I realized after a few years, probably about 6 years, trying to make a living doing something else as a corporate recruiter, I realized that I really wanted to be true to myself, and I had tried to do some other things like stand-up comedy. And I had been fairly successful at that, but I wasn't hugely successful. I wasn't an overnight sensation, which I think anything worthwhile takes a long time to build up anyway. But I was fairly successful at that, and I was hitting the local circuit. But I knew that I wanted to come back into true broadcasting. So I just attempted to try and work my way back in, and I found a way in. I contacted a friend who knew somebody that worked for an advertising agency, and I started talking with an advertising agency, and I started doing scratch tracks. Long story short, a scratch track is basically just a sample of what you can do, and your client, your patron, your customer, your whoever it is that might want to know more about you, and I still do those today, wants to hear a sample of what you can do besides listening to your demos like I have individually on my website. But they wanted a specific, you know, something that related to their product, and I said, I can do this. And I said I could do it for the advertising agency, and they gave me a couple of samples to be able to do for their clients so that they could present it to their clients within their storyboard. And they liked what I did, and I started going forward. And then I realized also I could do radio reading for the blind, and I did that in Dallas for a long time as well. For about 8 years, I was a volunteer, and that's a great place for people to get started if they want their voice heard. And I really enjoyed getting back into broadcasting, and then I started getting my first couple of clients. My clients included some of the people that I just knew from growing up, from my parents, from my family, from people that I had done business with on a regular basis, people from Radio Time that I contacted outside of radio and decided that I could do this. I contacted some people that after I was a recruiter that I fell back into and met again through some networking opportunities. And I said, do you need phone messaging for your company? Do you need training films for your company? Do you need anything where you might hear a voice and not necessarily see a face? And I started gaining some traction and some speed that way. And a lot of people needed me. And to this day, that's still what I do, and I'm loving it.
Crazy. That sounds incredible. What an incredible journey you've had getting to the great success that you are today. Again, we're going to take a short radio commercial break here, and the Pamela Follin Show will be back in just a couple minutes. Again, I'm Pamela Follin with my friend and voice over actress Susan Bernard. We'll be right back.
Hello, Arnold Schwarzenegger here with an important announcement. You may remember me from movies like The Terminator, but I would like to talk about one particular movie where I go to Mars. There is this mountain called Pyramid Mountain, and all this crazy alien shit goes on inside it. Do you think that's all science fiction? Think again, my friend. That's why you have to tune in to Pyramids on Mars UFO radio show on artistfirst.com. My friend Kevin Estrella, he is in a band called Pyramids on Mars. He has also been contacted by aliens. This guy has been a guest on over 15 UFO radio talk shows, so you have to listen to him. There's something going on, and it can't be ignored. He interviews people who have been abducted by aliens. He interviews alien-human hybrids. This is no bullshit. So get to the chopper! Do whatever you have to do and go listen. Get your ass to Mars. Pyramids on Mars. UFO radio.
Thanks for joining us on the Pamela Follin Show on the Artist First Radio Network. All past shows are available in podcast form. Pick them up at artistfirst.com. Back to your host, Pamela Follin.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for hanging with me through the commercial break. Again, this is the Pamela Follin Show, and I'm Pamela Follin. And whether you're listening live or on the archives, I'm glad you're listening because my guest tonight, Susan Bernard, is a talented voiceover actress, and I'm enjoying learning about a world of using your voice for a living as opposed to writing, which is what I do, as I am better at writing and she's better than speaking. So let's get back to Susan Bernard. And you were talking earlier, Susan, before the break about how there were different platforms of work that you did, and is there a favorite platform or genre that you prefer to work in when you're doing the voiceover acting?
I do like commercial work, for sure, because it gives me the opportunity to read something and act out something different each time. And currently, I'd say right now what I'm really enjoying is political ads because, you know, depending on which side you lean on, left or right, Republican or Democrat or independent or whatever, because it is an election year, things have been kind of busy, and they will continue to pick up and be busy, and that's where a lot of my main money has been coming from in recent times. But it's very interesting because a lot of people will be, you know, saying something related to a softer sell, and they'll mention themselves in a favorable light as a candidate, and some other people will come to the table and they'll say, I don't necessarily want to emphasize who I am and what I've done. I want to definitely slam or disparage or throw some mud, sling a little bit of stuff at the other candidate for maybe something they've done wrong or something that, you know, is perceived to have been not so favorable. And it's kind of interesting because you get to deal with people and you get to see what's going on. And in that vein as well, there are certain things that I won't voice. So if it's really disparaging, if it's really wrong, if it's really unjust, if it's lies, if it's, you know, incredibly harsh and it's going to be detrimental to somebody's reputation, I tend not to do it. So as far as favorites, I do like to do character work. I like to do animals. I kind of hesitate because you never know what the animal is going to sound like, right? But a lot of times from the director, you'll get a cue or what they call a side. They'll tell you a little bit about what the character looks like, and you're supposed to, in your imagination, come up with what the voice is going to sound like if the director doesn't know. And then you've got to be able to fall back and come up with an entirely different other voice in case they say, can you give me something else? You know, so it's kind of fun to do character work.
It sounds like fun. And I know you're as big an animal lover as I am, and just a side trail for the listeners. Susan and I met at a local farmer's market about 3 years ago and have become fast friends ever since. Is meeting people locally the main way that you get clients, Susan?
I get a lot of clients locally for sure, but I do get a lot of clients by networking nationally and internationally. I have representation internationally for agents. And I am not a union person because I live in a non-union state here in Texas. It's a right-to-work state. So I don't have to be part of a union in order to do my job. But I get my clients and I meet people in a variety of different ways. As far as being a former corporate recruiter, I have the habit of asking people, so what do you do for a living? What do you like to do? And I think the reason my success has been so strong over the past, I don't know, probably 12 to 14 years, that it's been really pretty decent and has sustained in all sorts of, you know, economic climates is because of the fact that I'm more interested in other people and personal relationships. So that's how I try and get to know people and find out, you know, how they feel about things, what they like, what they believe in, what they represent. And I try and help people out. And so in making a difference in people's lives, that's how really I find my clients. I think that, you know, most of my clients have become my friends, my personal friends, which is great. And much like you, you've become a friend of mine, and we've worked together on other things, but I'm looking forward to working with you further and being able to help, because that's really my big push. I just want to be able to help other people.
Absolutely. And, you know, you and I are saying the same message in different ways, because that's what I'm trying to do, too, with the books, is teach young readers about the pets. And it sounds like you have a much broader range of areas that you can help people in, which is absolutely fantastic. So tell us.
I was just going to say, I don't mean to interrupt you, Pamela, but I will tell you and speak to this on your behalf or on our behalf. You were gracious enough at one point in time to come to my Rotary group. And that's another way. I mean, I do service for the community. But you were kind enough to come out and speak to our Rotary group about the books that you've been so prolific about and been writing for a while now. And it really showed how much you cared about how passionate you are about animals and about the care and the proper respect and treatment of animals and everything. And you know, it wasn't just a juvenile presentation or a presentation for young teens. It was great for all of us to hear about in our community group and to know what it is that you do. And you do such a great job that, you know, that really enamored me with your ability to not only write, but to bring your message of, you know, responsibility and care for animals, that it really, I mean, you hit it hard. You hit a home run. You nailed it. It was fabulous. Everybody enjoyed it. and they can't wait to have you come back again. So it was really great. So we are like-minded in that and helping the world, I think, and being able to be better people through our own hidden talents or now exposed talents, which is great.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Susan. I sure enjoyed doing the Rotary Club presentation for the Allen Rotary. Let's see. Back to what you do as a voiceover actress, what are some of the biggest challenges that you face, or if any?
I get a lot of challenges. A lot of times when I receive an audition, there's no direction. There's no punctuation. There's no anything. It's just like, can you read this for me or can you do this? And sometimes it's a guessing game to try and figure out and read the minds of the clients. Sometimes I'm cast by a casting agency, and they usually give better descriptions of what they need and what they're looking for as far as terms of tone and sound and, you know, and urgency or whatever, and what the backstory is behind whatever it is that I'm reading. Sometimes I receive two lines, and that can be, or one line, it can be harder to read than a whole paragraph. And yes, I do talk for a living, although I do stumble sometimes. Typically, I will read according to a script. And sometimes people will say, can you just throw something in there, or can you ad-lib part of this or whatever? And that's difficult. You know, you have to kind of be in line with whatever that product is, and you have to kind of know, have a history, a little bit of what's going on, and an understanding of what might be occurring in order to nail it. Otherwise, it's just kind of, it doesn't come across as genuine. It doesn't come across as sincere or important for that particular product or service. So sometimes if I'm not given enough direction, or I'm not told enough information about the product or about what's being said, it doesn't ring true. It doesn't help the project as much. So I tell people, even though I like to talk, obviously, when you pay me for what it is that we're going to be doing, give me as much background as you can. Tell me the urgency. Tell me the need, tell me the desire of what you're trying to achieve. Tell me what kind of picture do you want to leave in somebody's head? What kind of tone do you want me to approach? Do you want me to be friendly? Do you want me to be cynical? Do you want me to be a little bit snarky? Do you want me to be, you know, shy? Do you want me to be coy? Is it hard-hitting? Is it more impactful? You know, that kind of situation. Do you want me to be, you know, overly joyous about this? Well, give me some kind of direction here. And sometimes I don't get any direction, and I'm supposed to guess, and it's hard.
Wow, that does sound hard. It sounds like it would just make you be talking without really knowing what you're saying.
Exactly.
I would just start babbling.
I've done that many a time. Yes, I have.
Are there other challenges you face, or is that the biggest one?
I think that's probably one of the biggest ones. Another challenge that I have is sometimes people don't know your worth. And I admit that sometimes when I started out a long time ago, I didn't know how much money I should charge. I didn't know what my rate should be. I didn't know what to be charging for a certain amount of time. And every project is a little bit different because it depends on the length that the project is, as far as how long I'm going to be speaking, basically, and it depends on the usage, okay, so where it's going to be heard, the duration of time. So it might be sometimes the campaigns might last for 12 weeks, 16 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks. They come in 4 week, you know, phases or whatever, and radio is different than television, and you might hear a national commercial for whatever you like, I don't know, like Liberty Mutual. You know, you might hear that they've bought a lot of time, but each commercial is a little bit different. It's been produced differently. There's different characters in it. And same thing like with a Geico commercial or another insurance company. I don't know, Progressive, let's say. Okay, so depending on what's going on, what you see, what the storyboard is, the challenge of that is I'm only me. I'm the only person within my company, my LLC. So it's full-blown just me. So, you know, you might have somebody that might come up with a video, but then they need a voice. And I always tell people, I might not be the voice just for you. And the reason why you frequently don't get hired, or the reason why I don't get hired, people will tell me it's either possibly because I sound like their old ex-wife or old girlfriend or somebody that they don't like, that my voice reminds them of somebody, or possibly, yeah, I've been told that before. And sometimes people say, well, if you don't get hired, it's because maybe of your equipment. Like, I noticed a little bit earlier, there was a little bit of a technical glitch that we had because I was keeping you on speakerphone. So, yeah, there's a little bit of difference sometimes in the audio quality of different people. And I have a broadcast quality studio. So not only do I need to set it according to television standards and radio standards, but if somebody hears something that's a little bit errant or I'm sibilant, which means that I might, you know, hit my S's extra hard like a snake, I'd be like, and you hear the hiss, I can take that out of there. So there's a technical challenge. And sometimes the other challenges end up being more so that somebody doesn't know what they want until they hear it. And so I'm not in their head, so I can't really tell you exactly what it is that they might want. But then when they hear it, they'll go, that's it, that's it, that's what I want. But can you imagine you're not in somebody else's head, so you can't read their mind. And even though you might be on the same wavelength, you know, they might go against, you know, type, meaning you might do a character assessment of something like a big bulldog, and you might think that the bulldog might kind of sound like this and be tough and masculine and hard and kind of rough and tumble. But some people might look at that big old bulldog and they might think, wouldn't it be hysterical if the bulldog kind of sounded like this and it was southern and it was high up and it was a little kind of, you know. So you never know what somebody is going to want until they tell you that is what they want. So that's another issue sometimes. And then I guess the last thing that I'll tell you sometimes is a challenge is sometimes when people don't know, although there are rate sheets out there, of how much to pay and where something might be heard and the duration of time or whatever. Sometimes people think, you know, oh, this is so easy. I can do this. Well, I tell people all the time, if you can do it, great. But I wear many different hats when I'm doing the job for you. I play copywriter. I play proofreader. I play the sound engineer. I play the editor, the sound editor as well. I play the broadcaster. I help make sure that it's what you need. I'm the voice talent to voice it. So I wear a lot of different hats, and I make sure that it comes across as professionally as possible and as polished as possible so that you'll be proud of it and I'll be proud of it, because my name is never – I don't read a commercial and then say, done by Susan Bernard. I just read the commercial, and if you're proud enough to have it and pay for it and like it, I want it to be something that I can also be proud of and like too.
Absolutely. That is fantastic. So tell people one more time how they can contact you and hire you for voiceovers.
Okay, the best way to hire me for voiceovers is to contact me. And you can contact me through my website and tell me a little bit about your project, about what your needs are, about what the project is a little bit further and more about, of what you're looking for or what you think you might need. And you can tell me information about how long the project will be used, or maybe the sound or the tone that you're looking for, and what venue or area you want it heard in, whether it's TV or radio or both, or in a non-broadcast situation, which I can explain again. And then the best way to contact me is through my website, which is www.susanbernardvo.com. And again, it's www.susanbernardvo.com. VO, which is SusanBernard, like Bernard, like St. Bernard, VO, like voiceover. So it's SusanBernardVO.com. And again, if you need to get in touch with me by phone, you're welcome to call me at 214-403-1036. That's my cell, 214-403-1036. Or you can call the studio line at 484-8-VOICE-4. And that number again is 484-8-VOICE-4. Or you can contact me through Gmail and send me a personal email and contact me, and it matches the pattern of my URL, my website, which is susanbernardvo@gmail.com. And again, that's susanbernardvo@gmail.com. susanbernardvo@gmail.com.
Well, thank you so much for being with us tonight, Susan. I sure enjoyed having you.
It was great being here, and oh my God, I loved every minute of it. Thank you for having me as a guest.
You're welcome. I've enjoyed it too. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us and learning all about voiceover actress from my guest tonight, Susan Bernard. Whether you're listening on the archive or live, I'm glad you've been with me. Tune in the fourth Monday of every month at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time for another episode. And again, I'm your host, Pamela Foland. My website is PamelaFoland.com. You can find out more about me and my books, and I look forward to talking to you next month. Have a great night.